Welcome to our Wednesday, the 12th ordinary council meeting. I'd like to declare the meeting open at 5:30 and in doing so respectfully acknowledge the Gadigal people whose land we're meeting on this afternoon, respectfully acknowledging the contribution of Gadigal leaders past, present and future in all working together for the betterment of the future to the Yeah, Port Hedland. Welcome.
It's going to be a long time before we can repeat a meeting being held on the 12th.
We won't be here for it.
Arnold could well still be on council.
We're lucky to be here after our presentation we had the other night by a certain councillor. Was that my first name it was?
Item 2, recording of attendance and apologies. Attendance as listed with alterations. Fantastic to see you here, Councillor Gillingham, and swapping Councillor Jean back to apologies. So with those two swaps, approved, leave of absence nil. Item 3, response to previous questions taken on notice. 3.1.1, Mr. Camillo Blanco. 3.2, question from elected members at the ordinary council meeting held on Wednesday the 24th. 3.2.1, Councillor Gillingham. Okay, item 4, public time. Just an important note, as I open public question time at 5:41, are there any public questions? If you could just raise your hand if you're going to have 1, 2, 3, 4. Great. Okay, just a note before we do commence official proceedings. This meeting is being recorded on audio tape as an additional record of the meeting and to assist with minute-taking purposes, which may be released upon request to third parties. If you do not give permission for your recording of your participation, please indicate at this meeting. So are you question okay with recordings being made available? Yep, right. Public is also reminded that in accordance with section 20.3 of the Town of Port Hedland Local Law on Standing Orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless the person has been given permission by the chairperson to do so. Okay, public question time. Please state your name nice and clear for the recording.
I'm losing my hearing. More recent months I'm finding it more difficult for to be able to listen to what is happening here at the council chambers. Apparently I'm not the only one. So I'm putting forward a suggestion if possible to council to consider to maybe install some kind of sound system in the chambers. And maybe have a series of mobile microphones that can be sitting passed around the table to whoever is speaking at the time.
CEO?
Through Madam Mayor, we'll certainly take that on board, Mr. Wally. I'm not sure if there's a budget for that in this year's budget, but we can certainly have a look at what the cost of such an amplification system might be and to see if the Town of Port Hedland has any other systems that could be brought in and used for council meetings.
Thank you. I heard every word you said.
Are there any further public questions?
Come on, I attended the Chamber of Commerce meeting on Thursday night, and it was suggested by the Deputy Mayor that I was a racist because I do not stand when council meetings start or open, are open.
Is this a question, sir?
Yes, just explaining it. I've got no problem with those questions, but can I just get some clarification on the requirement to stand before a meeting? And we have been over this before, but obviously the deputy is not familiar with those requirements. So are there any requirements to stand by the members of the public at the start of the meeting?
It is not written or prescribed within the current standing orders. However, it is a sign of respect and it is a respectful act that people do when we do commence meetings.
So it's not required?
It's not written in the standing orders.
In this week's paper, you say Winchfield is at risk due to the number of non-compliant residential issues. That is true for the whole of the Port Hedland area, not just West Street. So what are you doing to rectify the problem in relation to non-compliance in the Port Hedland area?
Yes, we are working on it with our compliance team.
In this week's paper, it stated that living in Wedgefield is unhealthy. Can you show the evidence that supports your statement?
I haven't stated that. I'm a bit confused where you're drawing that from, but certainly it is an industrial area and is subject to noise and dust and conditions that are subject to an industrial area.
The comments were as quoted by the Northwest Telegraph.
So it must be true. Are there any further questions?
Yes, so are you telling me that that's not what you said?
No,
I haven't answered that question.
I haven't said that. Any further questions?
No, I haven't answered that question.
Yeah, I have not said that. Are there any further questions?
Yes. Can you, you say again that Wedgefield is light industry. That is incorrect. In fact, Wedgefield is own industry. Can we get some clarification in next week's paper, along with all the other facts that have been left out? And if you need advice on Wedgefield, I'm happy to assist. So you can just give us a call and I'll let you know.
Fantastic. I will. Any further questions?
Can we get some clarification in next week's paper on the stuff that's untrue in this week's paper?
I'm not sure what you're referring to, sorry sir, but we'll do our best. Any further questions?
Good afternoon to everyone.
Yeah, that's fine. Please state your name nice and clear for the recording.
I'm Filipina Walton. I work for the Crown Hill. And therefore, you know, the schoolkeeper, And now I also have a few questions about our housing for the household workers. We are very much aware that the housing crisis is not affordable to everyone. So I got a copy of this housing policy. About those people who are entitled to have housing subsidies, which are the owner directors, managers, coordinators, and level 5 officers. I think Kelly Howlett and Malcolm Osborne are the best person to answer the question here is, especially Malcolm Osborne, because he worked as the CEO in Esperance. Am I right, Malcolm?
Correct, yes.
Yeah, so do you think that the policy or the housing subsidy in the town of Port Hedland are practical as they are in Esperance regarding to this position?
Through you, Madam Mayor, if you're referring to the Shire of Esperance does not provide any staff housing to any staff at all, not even the CEO.
Yes, because the housing is affordable.
That's a moot point, whether it's affordable. It's certainly a different market to what's occurring in Port Hedland. The housing strategy that's been put in place for consideration by Council for the town of Port Hedland requires a huge additional number of housing to meet the current needs for those people within those classifications you mentioned, and probably even at that level may be somewhat difficult for us to afford. To be able to extend it to further levels within the organisation is probably financially impractical, and I think that the employment and recruitment of people at those other levels was always considered to be easier to be done from people already residing in Port Hedland with housing available.
Yeah, but can we employ only people who are residing in Port Hedland with their own houses and have a family already? Can we only employ those people? Can we afford to do that? I need to complete all the vacancies in the council. To employ only people who reside in Port Hedland with their own houses already, so we should not provide them.
It is a difficult circumstance, and it's a difficult one that we need to work through, and we need to work through a package and an array of different circumstances, and that's something that us as well as other businesses in town all have to struggle through.
Yeah, that's what we can see. That is why I just want to know from you that since we cannot afford to provide housing for these people who need housing, is there any alternative, a cheaper alternative, which is just quite good enough for those people to have a safe housing while we are waiting for the better ones?
Certainly, and that's certainly we have to work on and something we're continuing to strive on and continuing to lobby state government to ensure that there is land release and there are affordable housing options.
Yeah, so when is that going
to
take effect?
Well, we're hoping and we're working. It is something that's largely out of our hands as well. We are a local government authority with very minimal land, if any land. The only land that we own is the airport reserve. Certainly in terms of land in towns and ready to be built on, we don't have that land. So we need to continue to lobby, advocate and work very hard so that we can look after our work crews. We're certainly doing that and we're pushing that in terms of public housing, but also working towards making sure there's community housing and hoping that partners like Foundation Housing and other people are encouraged and attracted to come in and operate within the town of Port Hedland.
Yeah, certainly, yeah, but I remember that one
housing time is our number one priority.
Okay. One time, last election, which is the first time that I voted, the councillors were promising to release land. If we only have airport reserves, the land that are available in the airport, what land are we going to release if we don't have the land?
It's very important. The whole land release process is a state government process. Our role is in terms of the planning and the planning approvals, and we make sure that when we do get those planning approvals and the necessary preparatory work, that we give that number one priority, and that is actually post-haste through the whole entire organisation. That's our role in that process, and we do that well.
Okay, yeah, because I'm just going to emphasise, because I got a mate here, he's a workmate, and they want to start a family. They want to start a family like having children and things like that. But at the meantime, they are living with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And they cannot start a family because, you know, the house is cracked. So they cannot just fit in. They're like starving. And it's not safe to live in that condition. So he already went to the housing department and he followed the rules, this and that, blah, blah, blah. But then he came back to the first step, saying that, how can it be done? And they told him to wait for 9 years.
We have to work through that process. It's the same. I, myself, even as mayor, had to rent a room for 2 years. It is a process that we've had to go through. Councillor DeCash's children have left town, regretfully. There are a number of people that are in the very same issue as yourself, and it's something that we're working extremely hard on in terms of bringing that to the attention of the decision makers and putting that pressure on so that we can get that situation improved.
Yeah, well, 4 years is good enough, you know, over 9 years.
It's been an issue since the 70s. You can read stories on Colin Matheson, you can read stories. It's been an issue that's been prevalent in the Pilbara and in Port Hedland since the 1970s, and we'll continue to grapple with that same problem and do our best. Any further questions?
I think I've said absolutely what I want to say. I have the questions. If you have further questions, John, we have any questions? That's all,
okay. Thank you. Thank you. Any further questions? No, I do really understand where you're coming from, and certainly we do all feel for you, councillors do. We really are indebted to the great work that particularly our outdoor crews, our garbage crews, our waste management, landfill people do. But it is just really hard to balance, and it's a delicate balancing act. But we're certainly on your side, and we're trying to do all that we can. Okay, if there's no further questions, I'll declare public question time closed at 5:53. Okay, public statement time. Now is public statement time. Please state your name nice and clear. Any public statements?
Just
going to
say the unfair treatment of the article that suggests that I'd ask questions about was actually an editorial from the Town of Port Hedland. That wasn't actually a Northwest Telegraph article. The town has written that, which quotes you in that So maybe we can get the town to rectify the information that's been printed.
Thank you for your statement. Are there any further statements?
Just an idea. I don't know if the council thought of it. There may be an option which they may go to the Department of Housing and stick a proper end, say 800 metres, and build, say, 6 two-bedroom units for single or part of accommodation. That may be an option for the council's Department of Housing. Because I think the Department of Housing is assessing on some end at the moment. And there is not just an idea, I don't know how practical it is or not, but I believe the council's got a full registration number, so they should go and build the units themselves and sub it out, and that would reduce a lot of costs. Instead of going through a building company, they can do it themselves. There's a lot of companies that carry out that work, then just sub it out. It's just an option.
Mm. No, and I really appreciate that feedback.
Good luck, anyway.
Thank you. Thanks. Any further public statements? All right, I declare public statement time closed at 5:56. Okay, item 5, questions from members without notice. Deputy Mayor?
Not a minute.
Councillor Carter?
Nothing, thank you, Madam
Councillor Gillingham?
Oh, yes, thank you. I've got three. Just the first one relating to what's just been asked from the members of the public, and I do apologise for your name, I forgot your name, the lady who works for Zephyr, relating to that. So I'd like to say any difficult times regarding the threshold with government housing, which I believe is if you earn over $48,000 gross per year that you cannot be in government housing, otherwise you get given 2 years to vacate. Can we continue to lobby the state government to raise that threshold? Because that's the only way I feel is if we're going to get some satisfaction for these people who really want to stay in this town and work. So can we please...
Councillor, we actually did it today. We met with the regional manager today and we're continuing to work with the tenancy compliance people and I believe a meeting's being arranged for next week. So we are working behind the scenes.
Well, it's a breakthrough, Mayor Holland, if we can get that. Like, I know everybody around this table will say here.
We're working very hard. Any further questions?
Yes, thank you. Look, I mentioned this to our CEO today, is... the iron ore stockpile, I can see through that window there, is getting bigger, it's moving further on down. It's going to create a lot more dust in our residential area here. Can we look into, is that going to increase, please? Because I know that we've tried to combat the dust.
Yeah, we'll take that on notice.
Thank you. Yeah. And also, people I know who drove up from Carafe on Sunday experienced 7 fires on the side of the road between Wim Creek and Port Hedland.
Mm-hmm.
They were quite concerned that there was even fuel tankers going through, that the roads weren't closed off at that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the protocol is in getting them. I guess they've blocked off now, perhaps.
They were on Monday, as I had first-hand experience, but certainly we can talk to FISA in regards to their notifications and their process.
Yeah, okay. That's it. Thank you very much.
Councillor Hooper?
Yes, just one. Went for a look-see to have a look along Butwell Road, and it's looking great. I'm just really impressed with what they've done there. Just one question is, who do we see if we... would like to see a reflective arrow sign at the sharp corner, just indicating that you come out to the end of the straight.
Through you, Madam Mayor, I think it would be a question. We'll take it on notice through our engineering department, and if it requires any road safety signage, we'll look to have it installed. Needs to be an assessment done to make sure it meets Australian standards.
Great. It's looking really good.
Great. Any further questions?
No.
Councillor Jacob?
Not really a question, Madam Mayor. I don't know if I'm saying this is the right place, but just to reinforce the talk around the housing problem and just to give advice to the young lady there that might be... there's a committee called the Service Workers Accommodation Committee that's here. Even though the criteria is not necessarily for employees to talk, it's really auspiced through employers. I think the more employees we get letter from at committee level, like in your case, if you wrote to us, I think it would make us reconsider what might be the criteria that work. It's supposed to be a committee to allocate affordable housing to service workers like yourselves, but it's generally done through an employee end. And I think in our case in particular, the town of Port Hedland's a little bit hampered because the industry that they're in doesn't fall into the criteria for their employees to necessarily come up high in the ranking for consideration. But it might be worthwhile for people to write directly through us, and our council emails are in the book. The more letters we get like that, we can take it to the committee and then say maybe there needs to be a review of what's currently happening. So
our council representative on that working group is the Deputy Mayor George DeCash. So please write an email to him and he'll be able to follow that up for you.
Any further?
No,
questions?
Thank you, Madam. Nothing, Madam Mayor.
Great. Thank you. Okay, item 6, declaration by all members to have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business paper presented before us. Could I please have a show of hands?
Through the Chair, Madam Mayor, I didn't receive my agenda item until this morning, but I have spent a few hours today going through.
Great.
Very short notice.
Great. So 7-0. That's great. Okay, item 7, confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting. 7.1, confirmation of the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on Wednesday the 28th of November. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points of clarification, sir.
Moved Councillor Carter, seconded Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Item 8, announcements by chairperson without discussion. Again, it's been a very busy lead up to our final council meeting for the year. Very impressed and full commendations to all involved in the organisation of the White Ribbon March and the evening event with Arnie Brennan. She's certainly a very inspirational role model to many people. Also attended the Christmas movie at Kumbana Park, and it was fantastic to see so many children and young families all at Kumbana Park, and certainly a sign of things to come in terms of future usage for Kumbana Park. Also had the pleasure to attend a number of school concerts, end of year presentations, and I have two finishing tomorrow evening, so looking forward to all the performances for tomorrow evening, but certainly full commendations to all the schools and all the performances that I've attended. They've been of a very high standard. And certainly just a reminder to all, and particularly the public, you're most welcome to attend that after the election that on Saturday, the swearing in of the successful councillor will be held on Sunday, this Sunday the 16th of December at 4 p.m. It will be held here in the council chambers and will be a very perfect lead-in to our Carols by Candlelight event, which is being coordinated by the C3 Church and being held that very evening near the Port Hedland Skate Park. So that's going to be a fantastic event as well. So certainly if you have not returned your vote postal package, please do return it on the day at Wanangara Stadium. The stadium will be open and taking enrolment voting packages, from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's all for my report. Item 9, reports by elected members without discussion. Deputy Mayor?
Nothing, Madam.
Councillor Carter?
Nothing, Madam.
Councillor Gillingham?
Yes, last Tuesday I attended the Port Hedland School of the Year concert here in the Civic Centre. All the pastoral people, population came in with their children, and we had three students graduating from Year 7.
Mm-hmm.
Completed their education right away from kindy, mm-hmm. and going on to high school. Beautiful afternoon. And we ended up with a lovely barbecue outside, so it was a very enjoyable concert now for me. So just wanted to pass it on. And also attended the free day at the pool on the weekend, and that was a really fun day, packed to overflow. And I think I'd like to think that more of these events will happen, mm-hmm. where we could maybe offer those free entries so that the public can actually come along with their families. Mm-hmm. Great day.
Good.
Thank you.
Councillor Hooper?
Yes, I had opportunity to go to the graduation ceremony and see the last of my children leave high school, and so I believe it was a great decision to have our children go through Hedland Senior High School. It's good to see where they're at now with the great leadership that they had. Also attended the Cassia graduation as well, and finally the show Alice in Wonderland that was put on by the high school was a very good quality great entertainment place. There's a lot of stuff going on at the moment, isn't there?
Thank you. Councillor Jacob?
Yes, Madam Mayor. I too had the privilege of being at the opening of the overpass for that FMG build along the railway line, but I got one step further. I got to drive the train, the first train under the underpass with 12,000 horsepower at my fingertips. It was quite exciting, so that was a really, that was a first for me after 24 years in Headland. And as the council representative on the Pilbara Development Commission Board, I attended their first meeting on Monday. And you can see that there is a vast amount of excitement and focus coming into the Pilbara region, in particular the town of Port Hedland. So I look forward to giving you more of a briefing on that after the new year.
Mm-hmm.
And our next meeting, so thank you.
Good, thank you. Councillor Hawkes?
I attended the Christmas party over at the Gatwick Pool, along with about 900 children, I think. Well, maybe it wasn't that many, but it seemed like that many, which was a huge success. It was really great. And over the last couple of days, I've been overwhelmed with the amount of the generosity of people opening their pockets and donating to so many charities, and that's just one of them. But a whole lot of people, I'm not going to start to name the number of people that donated to that, but a whole lot of things that people are donating to around town to make Christmas a bit merrier for those that can't afford it. I also attended the AGM of the Port Hedland Retirement Village, which is going along quite nicely, and they're quite looking forward to the infill sewerage being connected so that they can have full use of their community hall and get the reticulation fixed up, which has been on hold for nearly several years now in anticipation of the infill sewerage. But yeah, apart from that, everything's well.
Good. Thank you, councillors, and thank you for all your efforts and endeavours. Okay, item 10, petitions, deputations, presentations, submissions. We do indeed have one presentation this evening, 10.1, Chris Morrison, Director of Management Consulting, KMPG. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Madam Mayor, councillors, and members of the public. This is an ongoing journey of this project, which has been going for over a year now, just to actually give an update on the long-term financial planning stage. It's a bit in perspective. Yeah. The journey of the project, just to bring us right up to speed, is tonight, as council will be looking at office accommodation, this overview of the LTFP, asset management documents, staff housing, and ICT strategy. With intention on this project, that on the 17th of January, there is an elected member briefing on the long-term financial planning implications. I'll explain those in a bit more detail soon. I'm going to take the financial information to the council meeting on the 23rd of January, just to put in your mindset. If this is going to work. Boom. There we go. Quick reminder for everybody. The project is about transforming the way that local government does business. It's the same as every local government in Western Australia is facing. Town of Port Hedland has been on this transformational journey for over a year. It starts at the very core of everything we do is actually the 10-year strategic community plan, which is developed with engagement with the community. To actually allow the councillors to understand what initiatives, what way forward the community is actually wishes to go in the council. The strategic community plan was created and out there some months ago. The strategic community plan informs the corporate business plan, which is everything the council does in day-to-day business. There's nothing outside the corporate business plan. If it isn't in those two documents, it doesn't exist. Yes? So it's the culmination of every strategy, every project, everything all in one place in the corporate business plan. That corporate business plan informs staff numbers. So the corporate business plan is the first 4 years of that 10-year plan. That 4 years informs what the workforce plan requirements are. Skills, numbers, capacity. And that in turn identifies office accommodation that you require to actually, for people to actually work out of. It also informs staff housing requirements. It actually informs technology, the ICT strategy, which is part of the NICs and the technology requirements. It also actually feeds through to asset management, what assets are required, existing community facilities, future community facilities, everything right down to the equipment used within the local government, and how you manage that, how you look after that and form a strategy to make sure that we continually get the best bang for buck to actually support our community aspirations. And the long-term financial planning, the component we're speaking about now, is where all that comes together at the end and shows over 10 years what are the likely implications of all the financial commitments and stuff that are there. And if when you get to that point, it identifies a gap, it's about making that transparent in the whole process so it can actually go back and actually be communicated back and go through community engagement again. That's an overview of the Integrated Planning and Reporting Framework project. That has moved on. So building the long-term financial plan, which is a 10-year model of the future, it actually takes all those as inputs and creates that long-term financial planning breakdown. Where we're at is we've been taking out of each component the strategic community plan. Every element was identified from community perspective was actually identified and actually reporting initiatives so that it could be reported back to the community. It was actually helped inform the costings. It helped shape the future potentially over the next 10 years. It's automatically updated with minor changes every 2 years and subject to full community engagement every four years. It is designed to make sure that there is no deviation during the 2 years that you keep driving towards community aspirations. The strategic community plan is actually owned, as a reminder, by councillors. It is owned and updated by the elected members in council. It is not the administration's job to actually own that and look after that. That is the elected members. That drives the corporate business plan, which is the four-year business plan of how to deliver the first 4 years, which is the document that council gives to the CEO and the administration and makes the CEO accountable for delivering. The CVP, as it's called, lists all projects, structures, expected deliverables. It actually forms the basis for costing out all the business operations. It's a rolling document. It keeps getting updated every and is reviewed fully every 2 years. It details high-level project costings. Projects are costed now in whole of life, not just the cost to actually implement it, but what will it cost for the whole duration for maintaining it, operating it, keeping it going. That feeds into, as we spoke about before, the workforce plan, the quick time. This is a very intense piece of work to actually work out what the workforce requirements are, looking at each project, what resources are required to do it, what likely levels or groups of staff are required, developing what the organisation structure would look like over years 1, 2, 3, and 4. It allowed us to gather very detailed information on workforce costing. Again, it's updated every 2 years in line with the corporate business plan. The office accommodation uses carefully built up workforce requirements and looks at existing offices. And as we've spoken about before, there is a need to improve current office space, but there is actually a significant lack of capacity in existing facilities. It identifies the options to acquire or build this capacity to allow delivery of the CVP. You don't have the teams to be able to deliver the services to the community, you can't actually deliver the CVP, and you can't deliver the corporate business plan, you can't deliver the strategic community plan. Staff housing, mentioned earlier, it builds up that workforce requirements, identifies that key requirements around workforce retention, it actually identifies options to acquire or build this capacity over time. All this hardcore data has actually been built up over the last year. It is all coming together in the whole project, which, if we get this joy, thank you. We've been actually building asset management. We've actually been looking at developing the asset policy for the council, so that you have a set policy of how you look after all your assets. Created an asset strategy, how will you manage and look after and govern all those assets and get the best out of them. And created a summary asset plan for the baseline of what you've got now. It's the identification of asset renewal and maintenance gap. Are you putting enough money aside to maintain community facilities? Are you putting enough money aside to maintain existing facilities? And the ICT strategy is actually looking at what technology is required, what are the options around there, where are you with your investment, have you got a good technology infrastructure, or have you got a way to go? All those components are layers and layers of information the administration has worked hard on over the last year to put together, which requires some interesting inputs that create a long-term financial plan. It builds on those inputs we've described. The long-term financial planning gives hard data and hard facts to forecast those financial issues. It uses, incorporates the existing budget data. It uses some, forward capital works planning, that FCWP. It uses how much it will cost to maintain and develop. It uses, as I spoke about, whole of life estimates. It is really important to get your head around, because the long-term financial plan is a summary of all that information that folds it together. So if you know what it will cost, it's actually telling us when we get to the long-term financial plan, it will say, this is how much it costs us to deliver those community aspirations in the 10-year community plan. How much it will cost to actually have the organisation run. It knows what our staffing requirements are. It answers the question, can you afford to deliver what you're actually currently thinking of? It helps you understand your long-term funding gap, if any. And just council, so you understand, there isn't a local government in Western Australia that doesn't have a funding gap. Everybody has a funding gap. It allows you as councillors to make clear financial decisions. And it also means that those decisions can actually be transparent, help the community actually understand and be aware of much more that's going on, and help understand agreed service levels. If somebody wants to increase the level of service from the council, it actually is transparent enough to be able to say, well, that's going to cost. Yeah? How that's going to be funded is the question. Just to put it in perspective, the long-term financial planning, a little bit dig into the detail for a moment, is not the solution to all the problems. It actually draws all the data from the existing core council systems, the synergy financial system, your asset management data, Interplan, which is your project tracking tool you're putting in play. It connects up your budgeting tool. It actually looks at what functionality you can develop in reporting, but takes all those extracts up into that long-term financial model, which is a summary clarity in that can actually be shared and help inform decision making. That's where the long-term financial planning is going. You page on to the next page, just since we seem to. Yeah. Key messages. I'm not about to go through all your financial information, but the LTFP is due to council in January, as we spoke about earlier. It will tell you, without a doubt, you cannot afford to deliver your current plans. Okay? There's no getting away from that. That might mean you have to think about how you reprioritise things or change things, but it'll allow you to actually identify that and make that transparent back to the community as well. So please, don't go making any rash plans for January. Be there for when we actually go through all this. The asset gap, we already know, is likely to be $160 million over 10 years to maintain and renew your existing asset base. That's $160 million we know is an asset gap already. That's got to come from somewhere. The budget gap overall, when you put the assets plus projects, plus operations, plus everything else into the mix,
will actually be significant. And just to put it in a perspective, somewhere north of $250 million. The beauty of this now is with 10-year long-term financial planning, you're not running straight into this problem right this second. You actually have got a chance to make some choices to actually get that sorted. But it is going to be significant. There is no get-out-of-jail-free card that says it's not. Sorry. You will have to reprioritize some of the things at the moment and make some hard decisions, and all those decisions will have to actually go back to the community and have transparency, potentially back into community engagement. Because the decisions are all driven from the strategic community plan, which is actually the document that you as councillors have to actually feed back to the community how well you're doing against that. The long-term financial plan is the collation of all these things coming together. It's not, I know there's been some impatience at getting to the financial figures from some, because they're quite keen and know that you've got some challenges. But we've actually had to wait to this point to actually have all the costs in so we know what everything costs. Yeah. It's not the worst, by the way. Okay. I was in a much smaller local government that actually is facing north of $500 million a year. So the next steps, councillor, and it's very brief, just to put it in perspective. When you come and the initial forum for elected members, it's actually get a whole day around it, is the 17th of January. When you come to the 17th of January, please be aware you need to understand your strategic community plan and your corporate business plan. We won't be spending time going over that. Okay, so we're more than enough to do that here. The asset strategy, asset plans, asset policy that you're going to look at tonight, make sure you're across all of those. And be ready to discuss some challenging information. And we need to look at making strategic decisions, not burying back into where all the details come from, write down, is that detail correct? Yeah? All this stuff is actually rolled up from all the stuff you've seen over the last year. So please make sure that we maintain a strategic overview in that and actually start making some choices around those different things. The LTFP is actually the biggest single tool you'll have that help you inform decision making and also open up the transparency to the community. And that's probably the key, isn't it? So I hope that's
Councillors, are there any questions for Chris? No, thank you very much, Chris, and we do look forward to the 17th, so thank you. Okay, just an important note, members of the public are cautioned against taking any action on council decisions on items in this evening's agenda in which they may have an interest until formal notification in writing by council has been received. Decisions made at this meeting can be revoked pursuant to the Local Government Act 1995. Under the petitions deputation, before we do start, from Greg Rowan Associates.
Good evening, councillors. My name is Michael Powell from Greg Rowan Associates, and I'd like to thank you for the opportunity. Firstly, talk in relation to item 11.1.1.8, reconsideration of petitions for the approved extension for non-conforming use. Greg Rowan Associates acts on behalf of the Infox Property Group, and we'd like to take this opportunity to provide councillors with a background of the dealing case in the town planning and staff survey. And while we maintain that our request to remove and modify relevant conditions remains unchanged and substantially warranted. An approval was granted at a special council meeting held on 2nd October for extensions to a non-conforming use, being modifications and alterations to the transport depot. This approval subsequently allowed the continued use of of the subject site for the transfer of work as per the 6th of February 2009 approval issued by the County Board. A request to remove condition 8 is formulated on the basis of the following reasons. The intent to proceed with the original application was rationalised through modifying components of the existing transfer tower land use to increase the efficiency and accessibility of the site and improve the functionality of site operations to conform to new boxes operations. Condition 2 of the current approval states, in terms of portion of Council Scheme Number 5, transport depot is defined as follows. Land buildings used or intended to be used for the transfer of goods or persons from one motor vehicle to another motor vehicle for hire or war, or the storage of goods delivered by road transport, and include the maintenance, repair and garaging, parking for storage of such vehicles. Condition 8 of the current approval states, access to the property for road trains are restricted to industry only and shall not enter and or exit to Marine Street. The definition and intent of the approved transport depot use as prescribed in Condition 2 is directly contradicted by Condition 8. As a restriction on access prevents the site from operating to its full potential and is limited in regards to how they shall transfer goods by road transport to and from the site. It's never outlined intent to be totally restricted from utilising the Marina Street crossover for road transport together, hence why the application included the proposal to increase the width of the Marina Street crossover in question. It's important to note that the approved plan allowed for the development of the crossover to be extended on Marina Street, however Condition 8 restricts the use of the crossover itself. The October 2012-309 tender on state for timing for technical services. The town demand of technical services does not object to additional and wider crossover as proposed. The council must now refer to the two attachments as provided, being the correspondence sent to the proceedings from the town technical services and the town's road train network list. The Ground Association has liaised with the town technical services and received confirmation that the registry in its entirety is on the road train network list, and I quote, therefore, we do not have any objection to approve road train access to and from the registry. Despite evidence from the above that the town technical service has no objection to approving the ingress and egress of road trains on the new box site. This position is in accordance with the original referral as provided in the 2012-319 report, the Condition 8 is formulated with the following justification as provided. Two of the reports to the growth plan, as well as the lumps, indicated that two of the rezoned industry life. The zone does not support road train usage. The two of the reports to the growth plan does not state, discuss, or indicate the notion of which two have been rezoned entirely to industry life. Furthermore, the statement informing that this is a zone that does not support road train usage is a misleading resolution. Firstly, Industry Light is a land use non-zone. And secondly, if we assume the statement in fact referring to the light industry zone, this zone subsequently permits several land uses, namely warehouse, industry service, fire service, industrial and distribution centre, which can require and often allow the access and maneuverability of road trains. It is not our client's intent to utilise Marina Street on a regular basis. The preferred and predominant means of access into the site for road trains is via Penny Street. However, there may be times when access to Marina Street is necessary. The wording of Condition Number 8 limiting access to Penny Street only is not acceptable to our client, and the request for Condition 8 to be removed entirely. With respect to Condition 22-27 inclusively, we respect the request that the reference to within 90 days of planning approval be removed and replaced with prior application development for the following reason. As previously stated in our formal letter to Council, our client is happy to fulfill and will adhere to the specifics of conditions 22 and 27. However, it does not want to hinder the specific 90 days from approval deadline to undertake various physical works at the subject site. Furthermore, such works as required on part of conditions 22 to 27 may conflict with the timing of other works to occur on site as part of the implementation of this scheme approved. Given the scale of development to be undertaken on the site, it is considered our application should have been considered and granted approval with regular conditions in the same manner as per previous and recent council regulations. Justification provided tonight for general report states that the landowner is currently utilising the site, and therefore wording should be considered, and therefore such wording would be considered inappropriate. It is considered reasonable to enforce a time period of 90 days for the requested works to be completed. The This statement is correct in identifying that the landowner currently operates on the site, where this circumstance is considered not to be appropriate in allowing the applicant to satisfy conditions 22 and 27 by the occupation of the land. Subsequent decision to enforce a 90-day time period was considered reasonable in light of the site situation. Council, the above precedent of 90 days was set for our client to adhere to. Yet, an approval which was granted the following 24th October 2012 preliminary council meeting for extensions for non-conforming use for a veteran hospital, whereby the landowner was also currently utilising the site, considered an appropriate applicant to be granted such relief by the proposed application for the result. Consistency of the wording of the conditions and the process of the decision making have informed seemingly alternative outcomes despite the same situation being carried out on the site. It is considered that the precedent which was set for our client is not a true reflection of the circumstance presented and is therefore not accepted that our client is subject to a 90-day time frame. Subsequently, the respect to the request for reference to within 90 days of payment period be removed and replaced with prior application of the development for conditions 22 and 27. In light of the above, council are requested to resolve to consider option 2 of agenda item 11.1.1.8.
Any questions, councillors?
So you're actually, the land's been utilised now by the press. And the 90 days is for compliance on quite a number of issues.
This is 22 to 27.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your deputation. Councillors, you'll take that into due consideration when we consider item 11.1.1.8. Reconsideration of conditions for the approved extension to a non-conforming use transport depot at lot 1035 in brackets 8 Marina Street, Wedgefield, 36. Okay, I think that's all our submissions, deputations for this evening. We'll consider the business. Item 11, reports of officers. Item 11.1.1.1, proposed 9 multiple dwellings on lot 3, in brackets 63C, Kingsmill Street, Port Hedland. With the officer's recommendation on page 17, do I have any points of clarification?
So
moved. Moved, Councillor Carter. Seconded, Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Okay, now we're on page 26. Item 11.1.1.2, proposed 15 multiple dwellings on lot 179 in brackets 35, Morgan Street, Port Hedland. The officer's recommendation on page 31. Do I have any points of clarification? Moved, Councillor Jacobs. Seconded, Councillor Carter. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Item 11.1.1.3, proposed development application for storage of complete, incomplete and damaged buildings and the storage of associated materials and equipment on lot 3, Trigg Street, Wedgefield. The officer's recommendation on page 45. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points.
Moved, Councillor Carter. Seconded, Councillor Hunt. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Okay, we're now on page 58. Item 11.1.1.4, abandonment of scheme number 16 to the Town of Port Hedland's planning scheme number 5. The officer's recommendation on page 60. Do I have any points of clarification?
Sorry, I do. Mm-hmm. I was actually just trying to work out, I'm looking at the maps on 61 and 62,
mm-hmm.
and it says, the top picture says current town planning scheme,
mm-hmm.
And then over here it says that it's all zoning 12.5 to 12.30 in the tan colour up the mm-hmm. top. Which area, is it just the red area that's going to be rezoned, is it? Oh, sorry, the map down the bottom.
Director?
Through the chair, you refer to page 62, the bottom map.
Yeah.
It's that, I guess, that yellowy, orangey area that's
okay.
supposed to be rezoned. Uh-huh. Recently, scheme number 22 was gazetted, and so the scheme number 22 boundary covers the proposed area.
Okay. And the top up here, excuse me. Here it says R3080, and on the reverse side it says the same area, 12.530. Which one is it?
What we're saying is
Yeah, I'm actually talking about the zoning on Southern Street, Moore Street. What is the zoning? Which one's correct?
The correct one is the R3080, so one on page 61 is the current zoning, and considered by Amendment 22.
And this says existing zoning at the moment.
Through the chair, when this was initiated, this was page whatever of the initiation document.
Mm-hmm.
And so the current zoning, because Amendment 22 hadn't been finalised then, the current zoning once upon a time was the R4.5, R30.
Uh-huh.
Since the initiation of this scheme amendment, Amendment 22 has been considered.
So the word existing is wrong then?
Sorry.
The word existing is wrong, it's not
sorry.
The... Yes. Yes. Okay. Oh, that's the old zone. Okay. Any further points of clarification? Member and Councillor Carter, seconder and Councillor Jacob, do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Item 11.1.1.5, proposed acquisition of a portion of reserve 34970, being lot 3746 Lawson Street, South Edland. The officer's recommendation commencing page 65. Do I have any points of clarification?
No clarification.
Councillor Hunt. Yes, option one. Yes. Seconded yes. Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Well done, councillors. Item 11.1.1.6, amendment to proposed road names, approved subdivision of various lots, referred to as lot 2, Limpet Crescent, South Headland, with the officer's recommendation on page 75. Do I have any points of clarification?
Moved,
mm-hmm. Councillor Carter, seconded, Councillor Jacob. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Okay, we're now on page 78. Item 11.1.1.7, retrospective redevelopment of South Headland Aquatic Centre on lot 5815, Leach Street, South Headland. The officer's recommendation commencing on page 81. Do I have any points of clarification?
Sorry, once again, back to the map.
Mm.
Exactly where on this map is the car park?
Director?
The
proposed car park, my understanding
says
it was
first page 84.
Yeah.
It's
towards the rear of that.
So, yeah.
At the bottom of the page?
Yeah.
So the bit that's defined with the green line down the bottom down there?
No? It's part of the boundary. I don't think that's
the boundary. Oh, okay. Right, yeah. I couldn't work it out where it was going to be on this site and whether it would be shared with the library, Well Women's, Future Hotels, Lotteries House, which end of the, where it was going to be, given that it's 100 car parks, but, yeah.
But through the chair, my understanding is that the proposed number of car parks is just four that the chat.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's not intended to be a...
That's what I was trying to clarify. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Okay, thank you.
Any further points of clarification? Moved, Councillor Hooper. Seconded, Councillor Gillingham. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Okay, page 86, item 11.1.1.8, reconsideration of conditions for approved extension to a non-conforming use, transport depot at lot 1035, in brackets 8, Marina Street, Wedgefield. The officer's recommendation on page 91.
Have an alternative recommendation, Madam.
Mm-hmm.
In relation to... In relation to the recommendation, we have an alternative recommendation with regards to the removal of the 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
To wording more specifically in accordance with work plan as approved by the Director of Planning or Planning
Manager
Department?
Yeah.
Manager of Planning Services.
You're okay with that inclusion? Yep. You're okay?
Yep.
I have a mover and Councillor Jacob.
Through the chair.
Yep.
The words are not finished. The removal 90 days plus...
To be placed by in accordance with work plan as approved by the Manager of Planning Services.
I have a mover in Councillor Jacob. I have a seconder in Councillor De Cash. Do I have...
I'll just have another point of clarification.
Yes.
Is this approval is to be worked out between the planning services and the client?
The timing is... an alternative would be to leave the 90 days and put in the word or in accordance with a works plan approved by the Manager of Planning Services. So we still have time, and it puts the onus on the applicant to provide a works plan to be approved by the Manager of Planning Services. Because it's good to have a date and a time to actually encourage the developer to be proactive.
That's fine. I'm happy as long as there's a flexibility for a work plan to be submitted and discussed with the proponent.
So the 90 days remaining, but with the addition of four.
Yeah, so the wording is the amended condition 22 to 27.
Yep.
To include provisions enabling. The proponent to prepare. A works plan for approval of the Manager of Planning Services.
So that's to replace the paragraph number two, where it says refuses the request to amend conditions.
Yes. Replaced with amend. So
that's right.
Number two.
So number two.
It's number two.
Yep.
Everyone happy? So I have a mover in Councillor Jacob. I have a seconder in Councillor De Cash. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Okay, item 11.1.1.9, proposal to renew lease for noxious operations at lot 5857 Shillerman Street, Wedgefield, with the officer's recommendation on page 107. Do I have any points of clarification?
I have a point of clarification, Madam Mayor. Just a question relating to, do we need to revoke the previous resolution made on the 28th of March 2012, as well as what's recommended here? Because there was a previous recommendation made for this, dating back to council meeting held on the 28th of March 2012, or was rejected by council.
Good test by council. Okay, so everyone's okay.
Point of clarification, I just wanted to ask if I may, fast tracking this to getting this out of Westfield. So I thought this is something that we had discussed before.
Yeah.
Can we put something in this officer's recommendation that if this is going through that we need to re-look into this?
Yeah, most welcome. Do you have some words, or Director, you can help with some words?
I think the words we did previously was instruct the CEO to undertake discussions with the Department of Tax and Land to fast-track the Dari strategic industrial.
So you're happy to move with that addition, seconded Councillor Jacob. Any against? Motion carried 7-0. Governance, you're okay with that?
Right.
Well done. Item 11.1.1.10, Scheme Amendment Number 51 to the Town of Port Hedland Town Planning Scheme Number 5, recoding all land within the town currently zoned residential R20 to residential R30, with the officer's recommendation on page 113. Do I have
to say if there's no point of clarification?
I'd like to make a motion with regards to the point one, where it says placing the amendment on hold would allow the preparation, I'd like there to be an addition for a period of X number of months, because to place it on hold means that a resolution that first started on the 14th of December 2011, reviewed again in March, approved in March, and then advertised in April, will then go into a bucket where it will remain undecided. So I would like to see this council put a date in that number 3 months.
Three?
It's three,
yep.
And
we're
looking at
advice
council progress.
That's right. Well, I have for a period of 3 months and reports that to be brought back to the March OCM.
Okay, I have a mover in Councillor Jacob. Do I have a seconder in Councillor Hooper? You're okay? Yes? Okay, sorry, Councillor Hunt. I have a mover in Councillor Jacob, seconder in Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? Motion carried, 7-0. Come on, Councillor Carter, faster. Item 11.1.2.1, amended Town of Port Hedland Building Services fee and charge structure for non-regulated building services. With the absolute majority vote required on page 124. Do I have any points of clarification? Councillor Carter, Secretary Councillor Hunt. Do I have any against? Motion carried. So it's like one big word, Councillor. Item 11.1.3.1, delegation of statutory appointments to the Chief Executive Officer with the Officer's recommendation on page 128.
No points.
Rick Councillor Hunt, seconded Councillor Jacob. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Item 11.2.1, Asset Management Framework Policy, with the Officer's recommendation on page 136. Moved Councillor Jacob, seconded Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. All changed. Item 11.3.1, contract for the management of the Colin Matheson Oval Clubhouse.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to defend impartiality in this item due to my wife being a Community of Rovers Football Club. With regard to 11.3.1, I disclose I have an association with the applicant. As a consequence, there may be a perception that my impartiality on the matter may be affected. I declared I will consider this matter on its merits and vote accordingly.
Thank you, Councillor De Cash. Do I have any points?
I declare I will also impartiality that I'm living in the close precinct of the colleague Mathenos. So I'd like to, in regard to item 11.1.3.1, I disclose that I have a in the applicant. As a consequence, there may be a perception that my impartiality on the matter may be affected. I declare I will consider this matter on its merits and vote accordingly.
Thank you. Any other declarations? If not, do I have any further
points? I have a point of clarification, please. With regards to point 6 of the resolution, the recommendation, is it standard, if I could address this question to the Director of Corporate Services, for us to pay for legal charges to extend the management licence for the Town of Port Hedland to pay for that legal charge?
Through the Chair. Depends on the legal conditions. Most of the time, I think certainly commercial arrangements, we would
on charges.
Expect
the opponent
to pay for them.
Thank you. So with that in mind, I have an alternative resolution, Madam Mayor, given that we have to find in our budget review another $1,000, I think it would be quite okay to go back to Rovers and ask them to pay for the legal fees on that, based on the fact that they have suggested that there will be a higher revenue coming in from the next management year to that. So I think it's fair and justified for us to ask for them to pay for that $1,000, but certainly we will pay for the lighting installation, etc.
Okay, with that change, do I have a seconder? Moved Councillor Jacob, seconded Councillor Gillingham. Do I have any against?
Yes.
Speaker 4.
Madam Mayor, with regards to the report presented by the officers here, I believe the forecasted income for the management of Rovers, for the licence for Rovers to manage the Colin Matheson Clubhouse was in the vicinity of there being a split of around about a maximum value of $45,000 in the year that has been under their management. There has been some shortcomings relating to several ways of how the operations of the clubhouse was run, and the facility actually returned about $4,000 in the year. I think that facility in this coming year will probably do better because some of the suggestions made to improve the management of the facility will sort of increase the patronage to that, including the lessering of higher fees, the ability for people to hire to run their own bars, etc. They will improve the potential of people wanting to hire that facility. for, as the director has answered previously, it is quite normal for licensees, for the people managing to pay the legal cost of the associated licenses or extensions and things like that. So I don't believe it's unfair for us to ask Rovers to contribute in this manner, because I myself believe that they can, the income for that facility should be returning far greater than the $4,000 shown in the financial year.
Speaker again.
Has there been any receipt of the documentation from items 3 and 5 which were due to the council by December 2012? Any copy of those yet? I think that's got a bearing on this whole subject.
Yeah, that's more a point of clarification. Yeah. We are now in the debate, so you're a speaker against.
Absolutely.
All right. Speaker 4?
Oh. No. Reply, is that what, do I speak?
No other speakers for? Okay, yep, right of reply.
I need another speaker four. Would you like to pretend you're a speaker four? No. I just want
to speak as four and I might speak against. Is that right? I'm allowed to skip, yes, okay. You can stay as a speaker again.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I've only been here 10 years.
Given that the Deputy Mayor has declared an interest, has he got a right to...
Yes, he's got an impartiality interest. Please let the Deputy Mayor speak.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I've learned something in my 10 years as a councillor. It's a non-profit organisation. It's not out there to make money for themselves. They do put a lot of money back into making sure that the Rovers Football Club is a successful club for the town of Port Hedland, as are the neighbours down the road, the Swans. A large sponsorship. I believe that this is just to set them up for the future, and if they do prove profitable at the end of the day, then they can negotiate with the council on paying back some money. But until everything is finalised, I think that $1,000 should be paid by the town of Portland. Thank you.
Okay, Speaker 4. Any other speakers again? I might just make a note, I'll speak against, that we were quite tardy in getting the contract and all the paperwork and procedures and everything in place for the commencement of this lease and this operation, and I think that in the coming year, having a full year, that this will hopefully tide a bit better for them in terms of that revenue and what comes in. So I just think there's a little bit on both sides here with this one. All right, so I'll have a show of hands, those in favour. Oh, yeah, sorry.
Okay, Madam Mayor, thank you very much. And I understand the sensitivity of this, but in reality, on a fiscal basis, one has to consider that if we give this, we set another precedent for the town of Port Hedland to review other people on the same level. And given the cost of presentation from our very learned friend from KPMG this earlier today, I'm just concerned that there should be a note that if we continually accept things on a smaller level, they build up to larger amounts. So I guess my main case of point is to consider the return of the facility over a 12-month period, irrespective of who's, you know, the contract and all of the rest of it. I can honestly tell you, as being part and parcel of the Port Hedland Softball Association in a treasury capacity as well as in presidential capacity, one day at the softball ground of selling food and drinks returned us nearly $3,900. So for Rovers to return, have a facility the likes of the Colin Matheson Oval and return $4,000 for the whole year is astounding. However, I do understand that it is a sensitive thing. I would just like to put it on record that if we start doing this for Rovers, we have to actually consider it for others. So where do we as a council stop, and do the ratepayers mind paying for all of this to happen? So that would be my closing remark.
Thank you. So I'll put it to a vote. Those in favour, please have a show of hands. Those in favour of the amended motion moved by Councillor Jacob.
Sorry.
I can look at the recommendation that I just said to make everyone happy. I'm happy to say that if Rovers returns, if you'd like to include that if their return on their income is far greater than they return that $1,000 back to the council at the end of the 2013.
All right, but we're going to a vote now, so I've just got to honour this vote. So can I have a show of hands, those in favour of the amended motion that's been moved by Councillor Jacobs, seconded by Councillor Gillingham. Vote of three, those against, show of hands. And it is four, so the motion is lost. So I have a mover for the officer's recommendation. Move Councillor Carter, seconded Councillor De Cash. Do I have any against? Speaker for? If you want to. Speaker against, just offering it to you. Okay.
An amended recommendation, Madam Mayor?
Well, I've already got a mover and seconder. Yeah, we're quick enough. Okay, so I put it to a vote. Those in favour of the recommendation, hands. Those against, hands please. Let the vote record. 4-3. The motion is carried.
Can I have the names, please?
Names of what?
Recorded. For
and against?
For and
against. Yep, so those four, Mayor Howlett, Councillor De Cash, Councillor Carter, Councillor Hooper. Those against, Councillor Gillingham, Councillor Jacob, Councillor Hunt.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay, item 11.3.2, South Hedland Integrated Community Facilities Update and Progression of Project.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to declare I have a financial interest in that I have BHP shares above the threshold.
Thank you, Councillor Hunt.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to declare financial interest as well as I have BHP shares above the threshold.
Thank you. Okay, councils, we still have a quorum. I have an officer's recommendation before us. Do I have any points of clarification?
Yeah, one point of clarification. I made out of my own page 171 on the budget implications. As regarded the
171, we're still on page 160. Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
No points of clarification on this.
Move, Councillor Jacobs. Seconded, Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? Motion carried 5-0. Sorry, Councillor Carter.
Right, oh, that's good to see my meal there.
Okay, now we're on to page 162. It's good to see everyone testing everyone tonight. Councillors, as you resume your seat at the table, the officer's recommendation was passed 5-0.
Thank you, Madam.
Okay, item 11.4.1.1, interim financial report to the council for period ended 31st of October 2012. I have an officer's recommendation on page 168. Do I have any points of clarification?
Points are moved.
Moved, Councillor Carter, seconded, Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Item 11.4.2.1, Town of Port Hedland ICT Strategic Plan 2012-2017. The officer's recommendation on page 172. Councillor Carter, do you have something?
Yes, on page 171 on the first paragraph, that is regarding the recommendation to adopt the financial implications regarding the draft of the ITC. My question is that activities associated with the first 5 years of implementation have been incorporated in the town full and annual budget. Can I ask what that amount of money is that has been allocated for, please?
See you.
Through you, Madam Mayor, I have to refer that to the Director of Corporate Services.
Through the Chair, talked about there as being the first year of the 5-year ICT implementation.
It's in the budget, it's all the question is.
Sorry, we have carryover funds for the network implementation. Those funds I would need to confirm, obviously with salaries, etc. I'd need to get
bring the details. Are you happy for it to be on
notice?
Yes. Happy it's on notice?
Just a point of clarification, is it for 95 years, 2107? It's 2012 to 2017, you've got 2107.
One lolly to you, Councillor Hunt. Well spotted.
I was going to go up and tell them.
Yes, Councillor Carter will still be on council. I have.
He's the lifter.
I have the mover in Councillor Carter, seconder in Councillor Jacobs. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Item 11.5.1, office accommodation strategy, proposed short and long term solutions, with the officer's recommendation on page 188. Do I have any points of clarification?
I have an amendment for that.
Just wait. Do I have any points of clarification?
Can I make a comment, yes. Madam Mayor, please? Yes. Madam Mayor, it's come to my attention that there is some sensitivity around the recommendation that officers have put together tonight, presented for your information. It is quite clear from an officer's perspective that the recommendation that's been put forward is the most pragmatic and most timely solution to long-term and short-term office accommodation issues. It's also, from my perspective as CEO, the most appropriate use of Council's $5 million in expenditures towards a permanent solution for not only the administration accommodation issues, but also for civic and community purposes. If Council doesn't believe there's been enough discussion regarding this item, my preference would be that Council not vote on the issue tonight, that it be held over until January. That does provide some issues in terms of structuring a long-term financial plan. However, we can allocate one of the figures out of this spreadsheet in there. But it seems to me it's very, very important that we actually have a discussion on how to get the very, very best use out of the $5 million that Council has allocated. I know there's some sensitivities around the history and the heritage of this particular facility. It is still, as a CEO, it's my belief that the option that we've provided can cater for that in the longer term. Notwithstanding that, if Council would like to workshop this matter and have more discussion about the options, including the full costings that have been attributed to the other options, I would request that Council lay this on the table and, I can't move that of course, but request that Council consider laying the matter on the table and considering the matter at a workshop leading between the 17th and the 23rd of January OCM.
I did have an alternative motion, Madam Mayor, but taking consideration of the comments made by the CEO and the opportunity of this to have further discussions with councils and further to discuss the recommendations, I'll move that lay on the table for further discussion.
Move Councillor Carter, second Councillor Jacob. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Okay, late items. Now there are a few late items, councillors. 12.1, request to lease portion of Port Hedland International Airport Terminal to Qantas Airways. 12.1. Just give everyone a little moment.
So by way of explanation, if I may, Madam Mayor, this was an item that was contained within the Port Hedland International Airport Committee agenda. Unfortunately, we were unable to achieve a quorum for that meeting. This was the only agenda item that actually required a decision of Council. The other two items are more information items. So the discussion with the chairperson of the committee, who has determined that it was appropriate to bring the item directly to Council for consideration. I understand that the non-Council members have also been informed and asked if they had any comment to make prior to it coming to Council.
Yep. Okay, you're happy with that, Airport Chairman?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, with that comment. I
do have a an addition to the officer's recommendation.
What are you referring to?
Recommendation 2.
How about I just go through part 1 first, because it actually does need to revoke a resolution, so I do need a show of hands. Councillor Carter, Councillor Hooper, Councillor Jacob. So moved by Councillor Carter, seconded by Councillor Hooper. All in favour? Okay, 7-0. Okay, now to officers' recommendation 2.
We have an addition to officers' recommendation in the form of perhaps a H to be added, with the addition of a redevelopment clause. To protect the council from loss of trade claims in case the council redevelops the airport or relocates the airport, which is one of those two will be planned for in the next upcoming redevelopment of the airport. So the addition of a redevelopment clause.
You're okay with that, CEO?
to ensure protection of council's interests.
So we need to form that up within the lease agreement?
That's right. Because on the open market, that's generally on a commercial lease where there, it protects the lessor from any claims in case they've spent money for loss of income claims from them while we're redeveloping the airport, which we're going to do.
Point of clarification, Ms. Phillip, if I may. The other members who are not councillors have seen this resolution and approved it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you want to make an alteration to what they've already approved. I feel uncomfortable.
Okay, just let us just direct this. Can I just hear from the director first, and I'll.
Through the chair, that is taken into consideration and will be anyone. We discussed it in the report there that the term will be refurbished and expanded over the coming years. Councillors will invest $75 million over the next 5 years on the piece to redevelop as part of the redevelopment. The space at Quantock Bay might change, including relocation expansion. It is recommended that the lease includes a provision for market rental review at the practical completion of redevelopment.
Well, but the market rental review doesn't say. That doesn't protect the council from loss of trade while we develop. So if they lose trade, and if you don't put a redevelopment clause into that lease, you will expose us for them to come back and say, well, you're causing our income to be hampered by your redevelopment. So here's what we're going to hit you with, a loss of income.
Okay, so we're not debating now, so I'll just ask the CEO.
Madam Mayor, if I can just say the recommendation has come before council tonight is for advertising.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually part of disposal of property conditions. In terms of the structure of a lease, we would still ensure that our lawyers provide advice on the provisions within a commercial lease. So that would sit outside of this. This is actually purely what we'd be advertising to the public in terms of disposition of local government property.
Okay, so the lease will be formalised after this?
We'll start preparation of the lease whilst this is going through public advertising.
That's fine.
Okay, so I have a mover in Councillor Carter. Do I have a seconder for the officer's recommendation as is? Councillor Jacob, do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Okay, item 12.2, Town of Port Hedland Staff Housing Strategy, with the officer's recommendation commencing on unnumbered page. It's like the last page, if that makes sense.
Point of clarification, if I may, Madam Mayor, on the unnumbered page, the officer's recommendation, that's an endorsement principle of draft town of police staff housing strategy, including tender financial representing the council. December 202, which could be sent to council in January 2013, please.
That was a good find. Lolly for you as well. Any further?
I've got an additional to go into the, since I had that success. Obtain quotes from consultants to provide advice on planning, legal, engineering, survey and environmental costs of each site and report back to council.
Okay, so let's
that would be due course in relation to development for sites in terms of the business plan, the business package and what we have to bring back to council.
Yeah.
At the moment it's just an overall strategy identifying the properties that are coming from development. So in relation to what Councillor Carter is referring to, we do that anyway. We can't develop the land without coming back to council and providing everyone with the feasibility for the cost.
But it doesn't really matter if it's stated there?
It doesn't matter. I've been taking out of your implementation, your policy, the next step on, ensure that the next step did take place.
Yes.
And if the council are aware of the cost involved, because it's in each individual block.
You're okay? Okay, I have a mover in Councillor Carter. I have a seconder in Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? The motion carries 7-0.
No, you haven't picked up your lollies.
You can. Thank you for being so diligent.
Apologies, I have another very important engagement.
Just hang on a minute, Councillor Carter. Where's our permission for something? 15.1, so we can still do it with a reduced quorum of 4. So if you guys are still gone, I've still got Jan, me, you guys can help us. Okay, skip. Thanks, Councillor Carter. Okay, and then 12.3, councillors, and I know it was given quite late, is the Port Hedland International Airport paid parking hardware system upgrade. The officer's recommendation on page 4. Do I have any points of clarification? Move, Councillor Cash. Seconded, Councillor Jacob. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Okay, item 13, reports of committee. Item 13.1, Audit and Finance Committee. Councillors, both recommendations require an absolute majority vote. Opposite's recommendation 1 there. Do I have a mover? Move, Councillor Jacobs. Seconded, Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0.
Sorry, that's a wait for Councillor Carter to leave the chambers before you take the vote.
Okay.
Although he hasn't voted.
But let the minutes reflect that he actually left. He actually didn't vote on or any of 12.3. He left for 12.3.
He left at 12.2.
He did. He didn't vote on
No, he didn't vote on 12.3 because he was packing up. He was going. No one saw him, did they? No, he was gone. All right, so he's still gone.
Okay, shall we take that vote again?
Let's just do it again, just to make sure.
I can move that officer's recommendation 1, please.
Okay, so still moved, Councillor Jacob. Seconded, is that what we did? Seconded, Councillor Hooper. Yep. Any against? Motion carried 6-0. Okay, officer's recommendation 2, again, absolute majority. Do I have any points of clarification? Move, Councillor Gillingham. Seconded, Councillor Hunt. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Thanks, councillors. Sorry for that. Okay. 13.2, Airport Committee, November the 22nd, 5:30. Just a simple majority vote. Do I have any points of clarification? Move, Councillor Hunt. Seconded, Councillor Jacob. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Item 14, motions of which previous notice have been given, there are nil. Confidential items. We do have confidential items to consider. Do I have a mover and a seconder to go in confidence? Move, Councillor Hooper. Seconded, Councillor Hunt. Any against? Motion carried 6-0. Sorry, members of the public, we do have 2 confidential items to consider. You're most welcome to remain in the foyer or we could bid you farewell, so whatever you feel like doing. Okay, thanks very much for coming.
Thank you.
Oh, hard to know, sorry, we probably will have some debate. Sorry, Deb, you can look after them out there. Okay.
You want to start out for it?
Second one.
I think the second one, the staff except the CEO and except the governance team, but the first one you can all say, so don't get too happy there, Director. Hey, can I have a mover and seconder come back out of confidence and invite the public back in? Move, Councillor Jacob, seconded, Councillor Hunt. All in favour? 6-0. Okay, thank you, CEO. If I can have these papers handed back in for that item as well, councillors.
They've already done it.
Oh,
you
just
well done while you were mucking on the
paperwork. Still official counselor.
Rolling down.
Oh, here we go.
Oh my God, look at that. Back.
Good to see you back, everyone. Happier and brighter than ever. Okay, just letting you know, those are both confidential items. In both cases, the officer's recommendation will pass each time. Okay, item 16, applications for leave of absence. Stephanie Mayor.
Nil, Madam.
Councillor Gillingham.
Nil, thanks, Mayor. However, 16th December through the 3rd of February 2013. However, I'll find you available to be available for the 17th of January for the important
meeting. Yes. Councillor Hooper.
Yes, 23rd of December to the 20th of January.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, I will be away from the 17th of December to the 13th of January. However, I am also away from the 21st to the 25th of January. 21st to the 25th of January, I'll be in a court.
How long is it back for Australia Day?
The OCM on the 23rd. Mm.
Councillor
Hunt. I'll be here to look after the town in the absence of the other councillor.
Thank you. I'll look after it without Director of Engineering, who will also be here. So good work, and UCO. I know you'll be here, so that's good. Okay, can I have a move on? And the Director of Corporate Services will be here working hard as well. Can I have a mover and a seconder for the leave? So move Councillor Cash, seconded Councillor Jacob. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Well done. Okay, everyone, this is our final council meeting in terms of formal consideration of business papers. We do have the special swearing-in ceremony that will be held this Sunday, the 16th at 4 p.m. here in these very chambers. Other than that, I wish to take the opportunity to importantly thank all the staff for their important contributions to this past year. We've achieved and done so much, and everyone should be very proud. Thank you, councillors, for your contributions, your efforts and endeavours, and I know that the community really does appreciate your efforts, that you're working tirelessly for the community. I wish everyone a safe and happy festive season. If you are driving, please be very careful on the roads. It is that time of year, and I look forward to seeing everyone refreshed and ready after the festive season. I declare the meeting closed at 7:20.
Yeah, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, ladies. All girls.
All boys and girls.
I never approved any of that. I think it's come from planning and development.
You see those big board tables?
Yeah.
Oh, yes,
they're good.
Yeah. But also it needs to get better now, so that I get some bars when I see things in the paper. So we just need to get better at it.
I'm just trying to think what was actually done with that.
I don't think it went through. It doesn't look like our normal stuff. But anyway, I'll let you investigate.
I found a screw. Right.
No, Mom? You're not going to give me a
screw? I didn't say you want a screw, but I found a screw.
Okay, so...
Now, this screw is, the part of that contraption there.
It looks like it's a lean, huh?
Well, the wheels are falling apart. One of the wheels are upside down, it's just worried. So I'll give you a screw. Just pull off.
I spoke to Mel today about the 17th of January.